Listening to music is not just auditory and emotional. It is motoric as well. We listen to music with our muscles, as Nietzsche wrote. We keep time to music, involuntarily, even if we are not consciously attending to it, and our faces and postures mirror the narrative of the melody and the thoughts and feelings it provokes. Much that occurs during the perception of music can also occur when music is played in the mind. The imagining of music, even in relatively non-musical people, tends to be remarkably faithful not only to the tune and feeling of the original, but to its pitch and tempo. Underlying this is the extraordinary tenacity of musical memory, so that much of what is heard during one's early years may be engraved on the brain for the rest of one's life. Our auditory systems, our nervous systems, are indeed exquisitely tuned for music. How much this is due to the intrinsic characteristics of music itself, its complex sonic patterns woven in time, its logic, its momentum, its unbreakable sequences, its insistent rhythms and repetitions, the mysterious way in which it embodies emotion and will, and how much to special resonances, synchronizations, oscillations, mutual excitations, or feedbacks in the immensely complex, multi-level neural circuitry that underlies musical perception and replay, we do not yet know. But this wonderful machinery, perhaps because it is so complex and highly developed, is vulnerable to various distortions, excesses, and breakdowns. The power to perceive or imagine music may be impaired with some brain lesions. There are many such forms of amusia. On the other hand, musical imagery may become excessive and uncontrollable, leading to incessant repetition of catchy tunes, or even musical hallucinations. In some people, music can provoke seizures. There are special neurological hazards, disorders of skill, that may affect professional musicians. The normal association of intellectual and emotional may break down in some circumstances, so that one may perceive music accurately, but remain indifferent and unmoved by it, or, conversely, be passionately moved, despite being unable to make any sense of what one is hearing. Some people, a surprisingly large number, see color or taste or smell or feel various sensations as they listen to music, though such synesthesia may be accounted a gift more than a symptom. William James referred to our susceptibility to music, and while music can affect all of us, calm us, animate us, comfort us, thrill us, or serve to organize and synchronize us at work or play, it may be especially powerful and have great therapeutic potential for patients with a variety of neurological conditions. Such people may respond powerfully and specifically to music, and sometimes to little else. Some of these patients have widespread cortical problems, whether from strokes or Alzheimer's or other causes of dementia. Others have specific cortical syndromes, loss of language or movement functions, amnesias or frontal lobe syndromes. Some are retarded, some autistic. Others have subcortical syndromes, such as Parkinsonism or other movement disorders. All of these conditions, and many others, can potentially respond to music and music therapy.